This may be my last opportunity to convince you that if you miss next Sunday, you're going to miss something special. Now, for me, every Sunday is special, for I get to meet around the table of remembrance with my Lord and Savior and His church. And that's special. But next week, we're going to have Bob Russell with us. I have a few of his books here. When God Answers Prayer. Bob Russell, one of the most gifted preachers in America, has given us a very helpful new book on prayer. We often fail to realize that God wants the very best for us, that He wants us to be conformed to His holiness, and that prayer is the most crucial discipline for the Christian to experience and the richest of God's blessings. Charles Colson. In his book, Acts of God, I think one of our classes has been going through a study on Acts of God. I never refuse an opportunity to read the words of Bob Russell. He is a humble, wise, and gifted teacher. I received this book with great excitement. Max Lucado. And When God Builds a Church. Southeast Christian Church is one of the most significant models of church growth in America today. This book is not about the latest church growth fads. Rather, it contains the mature reflections of a pastor whose experience has earned him the right to speak. R. Albert Mohler, Jr., president of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. And Bob Russell offers up a host of practices and insights that can be applied to grow your church. And I'd go so far as to say any business, read it, use it, and grow. David C. Novak, CEO, Tricon Global Restaurants, Pizza Hut, Taco Bell, KFC. So Bob Russell will be here next Sunday morning. He'll be here Friday evening at 7. So I encourage you to mark your calendars, Friday night 7. Saturday morning we're going to have a breakfast here, two sessions. Saturday morning breakfast is free, but you'll need a ticket. Be sure to get a ticket at the Welcome Center. You can register for that. A meal Saturday evening for everyone. We started off, it was just going to be a second half dinner, passing the baton well for those 40 and over. But if you can come, I know you might have to get child care, but if you can come, Bob said, I want to talk on the urgency of evangelism, because every day it's becoming more and more urgent. Well, today we're going to be in Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. Beginning with verse 32. So if you have your Bibles, open them to Acts chapter 20. Beginning with verse 32. And now I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. You yourselves know that these hands ministered to my necessities and to those who were with me. In all things I have shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how He Himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we open Your Word, speak to us. May our hearts and minds be open to You. In Jesus' name, amen. A man in the post office had the job of taking the letters that were very difficult to read and to determine to where the address was written. He was to decipher, and sometimes they couldn't determine, and it was his job to take care of those. One particular day, he came across a letter that was written to God. Well, that's interesting. I'm going to have to check into this one. So he opened it up and said, Dear God, I'm an 83-year-old widow. Yesterday, my purse was stolen and it had $100 in it. I live on a small pension and that's all the money I have until my next check comes in. I don't have anyone else to turn to. I don't have family to turn to. Next week is Easter Sunday, and I've invited a couple of friends over, and I don't have the money to buy food to feed them. Please help. She signed her name. Well, the postal worker, he was moved by that, and he shared the letter with his other workers that day, and they passed it around, and one by one, they pulled out a few dollars, each one giving to the cause. And they managed to come up by the end of the day with $96. So they put it in an envelope and made sure it was delivered to the lady. Well, Easter came and went, and a few days after Easter, another letter came from her address to God. And the postal worker, he called everyone together, and they anxiously opened the letter to see what she had to say. And, "Dear God, thank you so much. I can't thank you enough for the gift that you sent. I was able to provide lunch for my friends, and we had a wonderful visit. By the way, $4 was missing. Undoubtedly, it was the thieves at the post office who took it." Now, when you do something for someone else, and I want to focus today on the word of service. When you go out of your way, when you do a kind thing, it's not always going to come back in response in a positive manner from the one to whom you're serving. It may not go as well as you had hoped. They may not even acknowledge or be grateful for your act of service. However, we don't serve for the response of the one we serve. We serve in obedience to the one who called us to serve. Proverbs 11:17 says, "A kind man benefits himself, but a cruel man brings trouble on himself." 11:25, "A generous man will prosper. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed." Do you remember the full-service gas stations? If you're 40 and younger, you probably have no idea what I'm talking about. Unless you've been to New Jersey, and there you're not allowed to pump your own gas, so they're all full-service gas stations. But I remember as a kid pulling into the gas station, and if the window was down, you'd hear that ding, ding, and out came the service attendant. "Fill her up, or I'll take $5. When I was a little kid, my dad had a Texaco station that was his dad's before him, a service station. I enjoyed going down there because I could go in and get a bottle of Coke out of the office, the machine. And I liked to go out front where that rubber hose ran across the lot. And I would jump on it. Cha-ching! Ding! And it would call the attendants out. They didn't much like it as they come rushing out and realize there's not a car to serve. But the mindset was, we are here to serve. Come out, lift the hood, check the oil, fill up the tank, wash the window for you. It was full service. And we've lost that in our culture. Except Chick-fil-A has been reclaiming that. How may I serve you? My pleasure. And no wonder they're about to overtake McDonald's as the number one fast food restaurant. And they're closed on Sunday. And they're able to do that. We are called to serve. Now, we started this series on holding fast, holding tight in 1 Corinthians 15, where Paul said, "This gospel I preach to you. This, through this word you are being saved. If you hold fast, if you hold tight to the word I've given you." And today I want to focus on the word of service that the Apostle Paul, he practiced what he preached. And the message he preached came from Jesus. In Acts 20, we find Paul meeting with the elders from Ephesus. As Paul's on his way to Jerusalem, his last trip to Jerusalem, he calls them to meet him in Miletus, and the Ephesus elders travel and they meet with him. And here he says, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. Why? Because holding to this word provides an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. Now that's a big Christian word, sanctified. Sanctification. What does that mean, being sanctified? Under the Old Testament, under the old law, sacrifices were required for sin. Day after day, sacrifices were brought to the temple as payment for sin. And there were all kinds of sacrifices and offerings for various kinds of sins. And annually, the high priest, to make sure everything was covered, in case somebody missed something along the way, on the Day of Atonement, would offer a sacrifice for himself so that he would be cleansed to be able to enter into the Holy of Holies in the presence of God. And then he would offer the one sacrifice for the people, make sure everybody's covered on the Day of Atonement. But not with Jesus. His sacrifice covers us day after day after day. According to Hebrews 7:27, unlike the other high priest, he does not need to offer sacrifices day after day, first for his own sins and then for the sins of the people. He sacrificed for their sins once for all when he offered himself. When you gave your life to Christ, when you turned from sin and repentance, when you confessed Jesus as Lord, when you were buried with him in a watery grave of baptism, there God removes your sins and he nails them to the cross with Jesus. And you say, well, what about the sins I've committed since then? Well, they are still covered and nailed by nailed on the cross with Jesus. That in 1 Corinthians 15, Paul says, it's through this gospel that you are being saved. Now you can say, well, I got saved on such and such a day. But then I got saved on that next day. And then I got saved again on the next day. Because we are being saved. The sacrifice is once for all. We don't have to offer sacrifices daily for our sins because we are covered. That's the process of being sanctified. The sanctification process. It's a process of being made more like Christ day after day as he continually cleanses and removes our sin and places them on the cross. And we are daily being saved. That this process of sanctification is a growing process. That as I leave my life of sin, I become more and more like Christ. The outward actions reflect more the inward heart, the inward light. That Peter said, repent in Acts 2 and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That God places His home inside of you. In Ephesians 1, Paul says, this Holy Spirit is a down payment guaranteeing what is to come. It is a sign and seal that you belong to me. And so when you are a Christian, you have God living inside of you through the Holy Spirit. You are the temple of God. The Apostle Paul confronted the Corinthian church and said, when you commit sexual immorality, you are sinning against the body, which is the temple of God. That God within you is daily working to make you and mold you into the likeness of Jesus. It is a process of growth. We go from being babes who desire the milk of the Word, and we become more mature in the faith, and we desire the deeper teachings of the Word. As we are sanctified, continually being saved, being molded into the likeness of Jesus. Aligning the outside with the inside spirit. Now, as you are being saved and moving toward becoming like Christ, Paul set the example by holding on to the word of service. Look at verse 35. In all things I have shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. that we ought to help the weak. We should help the weak. No, he's saying we must help the weak. This is coming from Jesus himself. The words that the Apostle Paul delivered came from the Word who became flesh. That we must help the weak. Paul shared from the Lord in Philippians 2, 6 through 8, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, a slave, doulos, a bondservant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. That here Paul, he continually taught from the one who taught him. He continually shared the examples of Jesus and the teaching of Jesus. It is more blessed to give than to receive. 1 Corinthians 11:1, Paul wrote, "Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ." Now, what did Jesus say? Jesus was in the upper room with his disciples, and they thought they were pretty big stuff. And look at us. Look where we've come from. Some of us were dirty, stinky fishermen. And you were a tax collector. You were even worse than us. But now look at us. They had just entered in Jerusalem, a big parade, palm branches waved. We're with the future king. We're going to be subjects in the highest places in his royal court when he takes over. Look at us, we're pretty important. And when they entered into the upper room, there wasn't a servant there to wash their stinky, dirty feet. And they sat down in all their dirt and dust and sat around the table close to their feet because they were sitting on the floor. Doesn't this homeowner, they were in a borrowed room. He couldn't provide a servant. He should have at least come himself. Doesn't he know who we are? Doesn't he know who we're going to be? Doesn't he know how important we are? Somebody's got to clean up. Somebody's got to wash our stinky, dirty feet. And Jesus got up. He took the towel and the basin. And he became the bondservant, the slave. And he washed their feet. Be quiet and let me do what I'm doing. And then he said, I've set you guys an example. You're not somebody. You're no one special. If you want to be great, then you become a servant. You become the least. Follow my example. Look at Matthew 25. 31, when the Son of Man comes in His glory at the second coming, and all the angels with Him, then He will sit on His glorious throne. He is going to be a king. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right, but the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." Then the righteous will answer him, saying, "Well, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these my brothers, you did it to me. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you did not welcome me. Naked and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison and you did not visit me. Then they also will answer, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you? Then he will answer them, saying, truly I say to you, as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Now, in considering these things, there are two very important questions that we need to ask ourselves. The first one is, am I growing in my faith and walk with Jesus? Am I growing in my faith and walk with Jesus? Do I complain less and help more? Do I forgive more easily? Do I give cheerfully? Am I generous? Am I willing to give up all that I have if Jesus called me to sell all that I have and give to the poor like he did some young rich guy? If he came and asked me, would I be willing? Would I give up my seat for someone else? Would I sacrifice so that another person could receive eternal life, would hear the message? Do I hunger and thirst for His Word more than I used to? Do I desire a time to walk and talk with God in prayer more than I used to? And another very important question is this: do I do anything at all to help the weak? And if the answer to these questions are no, then we might need to go back and say, did I surrender my life to Jesus? Or did I just go through the motions? An elderly man spent years and years, his whole life, as a funeral director. And his motto of his place was families first. And he had a reputation for loving families, for serving them. He had a great deal of compassion and love and kindness. And he would go out of his way the extra mile continually for families. But he carried around this black book. And some said, I bet he keeps record of the horses he bets on in there. Another said, I bet he keeps a list of his girlfriends in there. But for the most part, especially among the families that he ministered to, he had a reputation of being a humble, loving servant who went out of his way for them. Well, one particular service, he was directing the funeral. He had a massive heart attack and died. 4 days later, they were packed in there for his service. A lot of important people were there from their town, and there was the governor in the front row. He was a well-liked, well-known man. And as the minister talked about him, said, you know how much he loved you and cared for you, because many of you experienced his humility, his sacrifice, and his desire to go the extra mile for you. And then he called his wife up. And she said, I want to share with you something that most of you have no idea. And it all has to do with that black book. She pulled out the black book. And she opened it up and she said, "Let me share with you the first entry in his book. April 17th, 1920. Mary Flannery. She is all alone." On down, listen to this one. August 8, 1920. Frederick W. Pritchard. He is all alone. November 15th, 1920. Frieda M. Gale. She is all alone. She said, "Let me tell you what my husband did. Every Christmas Eve, he took out his book and he called everyone that he had a note written beside them that said, 'He is all alone,' or 'She is all alone.' He called every one of them and invited them to Christmas dinner." With this being 1971, she said, for 50 years, we had people in our house for Christmas dinner because he loved you. He was a man of compassion. He was a servant. It was all because he loved his Lord. And he was obedient to his Lord in taking care of you. Heavenly Father, may we be a people who are known and have a reputation for being a people who love, who go the extra mile, who care for one another's needs, who generously give and sacrifice for the needs of others. Not for personal gain or a pat on the back, but because of our love for you and out of obedience and devotion to you. We will love to help the weak, feed the hungry, give drink to the thirsty, to meet the needs of people. Be at work in and through us. May your light shine brighter every day as we are daily being set apart, sanctified as your sons and daughters. In Jesus' name, amen.